Hey, how everyone doing today? This is Wisdom the Healer coming to you live and direct. Oh man, I know it has been a while. Happy New Year's to all. Y'all know when I come back, I come with a bang. I have a special guest on the show right now, author of Dr. Sebi book. I'm going to introduce y'all to Mr. G. Welcome.
Peace and blessings. I appreciate the invite to your platform.
Oh, man. I hope all is well. I'm so happy that you're here today with me. Oh, man. I am so excited. Tell the audience where you're from.
Well, now, who's not going to accept an invitation from someone named Wisdom the Healer? You got to be crazy.
Oh, I'm flattered. Oh, man. I'm sure the audience is curious. Where are you from, Mr. G?
Well, I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, Brownsville, but my family's from Honduras, so I'm proud Garifuna King.
All right, that's awesome. I just had an episode on the podcast talking about the Garifuna culture, because I am also Garifuna. And of course, we do know each other as well, so that's also a pleasure, because I always talk about Brownsville, Brooklyn.
Correct.
Right? And so... Yes. You know, before I get to this, to the book, you know, because I'm sure it was very exciting for you with this journey about writing, you know, this book, and of course, having the influence to write the book. I want to know, what is the biggest question is, as an entrepreneur, what is the biggest challenges you face?
And as far as the book, or as far as what I do for a living?
As far as what you do for a living.
All right, well, my journey started off kind of crazy because I was one of those people who wanted to do everything and wind up doing nothing at the same time. It's like those ducks, they seem so cool on the top, but you look underwater, their feet is going 1,000 miles an hour. I was that person.
I can definitely relate to that.
Yeah, I went from selling stuff and circuit fee for retail, PC Richards, and then I was like, well, I got a free education. I have a bachelor's degree in early childhood development. So I started working in the school over there in Brockville on PS 327. I was the dean there.
Oh, wow.
So I did that for 3 years. Over there on Pickens Avenue, you know, Bristol and Pickens.
Okay,
I did that for 3 years. So while the young lady I was dating at the time, I took her to a photo shoot, and I paid this photographer for like $1,800 for like 3 hours work. So I'm like, damn, I'm being paid about $2,200 every 2 weeks, and this brother just made this money in 3 hours.
Wow.
So I was like, I'm in the wrong business. So when I went to pick up the portfolio that I paid for, I actually asked him, did he mind training or being an apprentice? And he was like, if it's free, it's with me. If I don't have to pay you, come through. So his name is Bruno Versace. So he took me under his wing and showed me photography stuff, how to edit, lighting. So I was with him for a little bit, and then I just ventured off to on my own.
Wow.
What was kind of challenging, me being Black African American, like at the time everybody wanted to see like blonde hair, blue eyes. You know, they had that mentality. Well, we used to have that mentality. If it wasn't white, it wasn't right. So I'm taking pictures in the hood. I'm doing all this stuff just trying to get my name out there. So I was actually able to link up with Smooth the Hustler, Trigger the Gambler, and Ice-T. I started taking pictures of them, taking pictures of Ice-T, White Coco. And somehow we wind up at the Wendy Williams radio station. This was before the TV show.
Wow.
So I wind up taking pictures. So Wendy, we wind up at the radio station, and Wendy asked who took these pictures. And Trig and I was like, yo, my man Guerrero, he's here with us, and he's taking all these pictures. So she said, we need a photographer here at WBLS, but he would have to talk to my husband. So when her husband came out the back, her husband was Kevin Hunter, this brother that we grew up together in Riverdale Towers. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got connected to Wendy Williams, because she was married to a childhood friend of mine.
Wow. Wow, that's beautiful. I didn't even know that she had a radio station before the TV show. That's interesting.
That's how she got famous, Wendy Williams at WBLS. That's how, from the radio station, when VH1 came in with their video cameras and videotape a couple of segments, and from those videotapes is when they shot her network and she got the TV show on Fox.
Mm.
Yeah, but it all started on radio. I know Big Mom Wendy from the radio station, WBLS.
Okay. So that's wonderful, man. Like, you know, and what do Guerrero stands for?
Guerrero stands for warrior.
Yes. A warrior we stand.
That's a fact.
That's what's up, man. Like the fact that, you know, you was able to, you know, get that experience, and wow, like, you know, God was with you as you was, you know, going through that path as far as, you know, trying to expose yourself and coming up there, and you was able to get that opportunity, and that's awesome. And you took you took it far. So now I am super excited because I want to know what influenced you to, you know, publish your Dr. Sebi book. Like, you know, what is that, the impact that he brought into your life?
Well, to be completely honest with you, writing the book was the last thing on my mind. I had no intention of writing the book because I didn't expect Dr. Sebi to pass away. I thought he was going to be with us till he was like 150 years old. I didn't think he was going to die at 83.
Wow.
But how he came into my life and how this whole Dr. Sebi journey began was my sister Eva was diagnosed with lupus about in 2006, I believe, around that time. Well, I found out 2014 that my sister was dying of lupus. I had no idea, because when I speak to my sister Eva, she would never tell me that she was going through whatever she was going through. But my niece, Denise Nunu, she told me, oh, it's so sad that Auntie Eva's doing so bad. So I immediately called my sister Olga, and I told Olga what was going on with Eva. And she said, oh, yeah, she has lupus. And is getting the best of her. This was 2014, September.
Wow.
So I immediately called Eva, and I'd be like, Eva, what the hell? What's going on with them? They're telling me you have lupus, and they're telling me that it's not looking good. And she was like, yeah, I didn't want to tell you, but, you know, I have seven of us, and I have six siblings. And Eva and I, we were real close, because she's a year older than me, so we were the only two who grew up in the house, because, you know, my younger brother, Georgie.
Yeah.
He was actually sent to L.A. because he was wilding out too much in Brownsville. So, but Eva and I, we stood there until we went away to college.
Yeah. I remember that, because I was cool my cousin Jason, my little cousin Pablo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that went down. So I told the family, I'm not ready to bury my sister. And I was like, I got to find an alternate method of healing. Because Western medicine was telling me what I wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Western medicine was telling me that she wasn't going to see 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So I went online, saw like some Dick Gregory videos, and then he said Dr. Sebi's name. And you know how when you say... when you mentioned the video, you got suggested videos on the side.
Yeah.
Dr. Sebi video was on the side, Eat to Live.
Wow.
So I clicked on that video, and he said I can cure AIDS, sickle cell anemia, lupus. And I was like, he said lupus, I'm going to Honduras. So I bought a plane ticket. I went to Honduras. I was able to find Usher Village where he lived. And And the thing that was so ironic was I couldn't get inside Usha because you have to know somebody or you need to make an appointment to get inside. I couldn't just walk in there.
Wow.
So I'm going there every day trying to get in. I'm on my Bronzeville shit. I'm like, nah, I'm getting in here.
Facts on your gully shit. Like,
I'm like, I'm trying to hear that. This man could kill my sister. I got to get at him.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't get in. He got his security guard with his big guns at the front. They were like, the 4 days I went there, I couldn't get in. So I just dropped on my knees one night and, you know, prayed to my ancestors. And I was like, look, if this is a man that's going to help heal my sister, you know, please let me find a way to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, I got a message on Facebook. And the young lady said, oh, Mr. G, I like the picture you took of Jamie Foxx and Alicia Keys. She was going through my pictures, and she was seeing the pictures I took, like Busta Rhymes and people that I know from the Wendy Williams show.
Yeah.
And she said, if you're ever in Honduras, can you please come by my family business? I would like to hire you to take pictures. And I was like, what's your family business? And she was like, Usha Village.
Ooh, so that is good. Goosebumps.
Instead of me counting my blessings and getting happy, I got mad. I thought it was one of my homegirls messing with me, trying to act like they knew Dr. Sebi. So I asked her, do you know who Dr. Sebi is? And she was like, that's my dad.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm in Honduras right now. I've been trying to get inside Usha for the last couple of days. So she was like, come tomorrow. So needless to say, I'm in the truck flying to Usha. It's only about 6 miles away from my house in La Ceiba.
Okay.
When I get there, the security guard giving me this look like, come on, man, we done told you can't get in here. So I was like, I'm here to see Sama. So they get on a walkie-talkie and she like, oh, you got a minute. So that's how I got inside of Usha. And Dr. Sebi wasn't there, but he came later that week. And he was able, me and him clicked immediately. And the conversation we had, our first conversation we had, it kind of threw me for a loop. Because he asked me, because he looked at the pictures that I took of his place and he has a photographic memory. So you know what Photoshop, if a hut had scratches on it, I would clear it up.
Mm-hmm.
I just had everything looking brand new. So he told me, I love these pictures. And then he was like, all right, man, what you want?
What?
And just like that.
What?
So I was like, my sister's, she's dying of lupus, and I would like for you to help her. And he was like, hold up, so you're not here for you? You're here for somebody that you love?
Wow.
And I was like, yes, I would like for you to help us. And then he said, let me ask you a question. And he said, are you a Sagittarius? And I was like, yeah, I was born on December 19th. And then he said, I'm a Sagittarius. He's like, is your mother a Pisces? And I was like, she was born March 15th. He said, she's a Pisces. My mother's a Pisces.
Wow.
And then he said, my name is Alfredo. Alfredo. Does your name start with an A and end with an O? And don't tell me that Mr. G shit.
Mm.
And I was like, yes, my name is Avalado. And he was like, sit down, motherfucker. I've been waiting for you for 30 years.
Oh, wow. That's, wow. That is so amazing.
Isn't it? I still don't understand.
Like, he just like knew it right off the rip. Like, oh my God, are you a Sagittarius and your mom is a Pisces? This is wow. Like, he just like knew who you was when you came in.
He just broke the whole thing down. Then he tell me my first job in America was at Martin Luther King Hospital. What you have to do at Martin Luther King? And I was like, I graduated from Martin Luther King High School.
Wow.
He was like, yep, sit down, it's you. Then he said, my son, who I gave, who my son who I helped give birth to, his name is Cesar. What do that mean got to do with you? And I was like, my mother's name is Lucrecia, but we call her Cesar.
Wow.
He said, yep, Izzy, you sit down. We got a lot of work to do. And that's how my journey was inspired.
Wow. It's like he knew that you was coming.
Yes, his grandmother told him. His grandmother, Mama Hey, that was his grandmother. No, his mother told him that I was coming. And that's how that whole thing started.
Wow. And how is Tia Eva now? Like, how, after getting treated by Dr. Sebi, how is she feeling?
Oh man, Eva Gucci, Eva in Honduras. She's a vegan chef. She's making food. She changed the diet. She's not eating no meat, no cheese, no starch, no sugar. Because all of that stuff is what feeds lupus that makes it grow. That's what feeds lupus, diabetes, any kind of disease that's in our body. Mm-hmm. If you eat right, our food, our medicine. And I was able to learn that from Dr. Sebi.
Yes. And then she's at the right area, too, to be able to eat natural, organic food. So
right off the coconuts, right off the tree.
Right? Mangoes right there.
You know that falling at your feet.
Yes. Oh, man. Yeah, I can't wait to go back to Honduras and visit.
When was the last time you been there?
Oh, man. Last time I went was 2015 on my birthday. July.
Oh, gosh, so that's been five years ago, right?
Yeah, just about. It's due time now.
you gotta go get your recharge.
I definitely wanna go. I definitely wanna explore too, like all the countries that the Garifunas actually stood at. Where we originally came from, St. Vincent, like, you know, where we originally landed, which was British Honduras, which is now Belize. Uh-huh.
We landed in St. Vincent, and from St. Vincent, we went to Punta Gorda and Roatán.
Oh, so it was Roatán and not Belize.
Roatán, yeah. From Roatán, we went to Guatemala, then Belize. So Belize is actually one of the last places that we migrated to.
But okay.
From St. Vincent, when we was exiled from St. Vincent, we landed in Punta Gorda, Roatán. And from there, we went to the mainland, Ceiba, and just kept spreading. And shit, we in Brooklyn now.
Yeah, right? We all over the five boroughs now, shit.
We all over.
Yeah, that is the whole fact. We are. And then we do have a lot of artists that's coming out right now and, you know, combining the punta with the Afro punta, you know.
Yeah, and speaking of artists, I'm so proud of you with your poetry.
Oh, man, thank you so much.
Your poetry takes people on a spiritual journey.
Yep.
And you can believe every word that come out of your mouth because of the way you articulate it and your deliverance, your cadence, it relates to people. And you know, our body, we only accept the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So when you speak, it resonates with my DNA. So thank you for sharing your gifts with us. Like, first and foremost, I had to tell you that.
Oh, man, you're very welcome. I'll go ahead and spit you another poem. Like, you just let me know. Like, I'm always ready, trust me.
I'm so excited for you sharing your gifts with us with the Dr. Uma documentary. When I told him about that, he was like, gee, you producing it, so anybody you co-sign for, I know it's going to be amazing. So I can't wait for the people to hear you on a bigger platform. And the sky's going to be the limit.
Yes, that definitely is. And sky is past the limit. Shit, we can go.
That's a fact.
We going to the galaxies. I'm telling you. It is a pleasure, and it is a pleasure, and I cannot wait to meet Dr. Omar Johnson. I cannot wait to be in that platform. You know, I can't wait to say what I have to say.
We're gonna be in Pennsylvania in February next month.
Yes, I can't wait. I am so excited. Oh my goodness! And this right here, I am so happy for your journey as well. A good question. Are you planning on publishing any more books after this one?
Actually, Nick Cannon hired me to produce the Dr. Sebi documentary that Nipsey Hussle was doing. So after we finish that, which is going to be sometime this summer, I definitely have a book that's coming after this book. But in 2 weeks, this book is going to be translated in Spanish and in French, because I'm getting so many orders from Barcelona and then it's in Valencia, Spain.
Oh, wow.
These people want to be able to read it without a translator. So the book is going to be in Spanish and French. And once we finish those rounds, then I'm going to start with the sequel to this book, what they didn't want you to know about Dr. Sebi. So definitely, because this, after this book, it gives you a lot of information. It tells you about one thing I like about the book is that it gives you outlook on who Dr. Sebi was as a human being.
Yes,
because everybody knows his healing capabilities, but no one know what kind of person he was, how funny he was, how dirty his mouth was.
So I heard about that.
This book is going to let you know who Dr. Sebi was, and I actually love the fact that his kids, the ones that read the book, they was like, yep, that's my dad all day.
Oh, wow,
they
that's beautiful.
They love the fact that I was able to keep it 100% organic, and they said I captured who Dr. Sebi was. And the people who knew Dr. Sebi, not just his kids, his friends who read the book, they was like, yo, you got him. That was Fred, because that's what his friends called him, Fred.
Wow, may he rest in peace. You know he looking,
Yes, definitely.
That's beautiful, and I love that. Do you have the fact that you had went through this journey, the fact that you had, you know, came from the bottom, and you know you come in, you all the way at the top, and you got the influences and the experience. What is like a good message that you know you would like to say to upcoming entrepreneurs that you know wants to do the same thing and feels like they can't?
Well, one of the things that helped me was, for every no that I was given, I only look forward to the yes. Nobody's going to say no all the time. Nobody's going to say no all the time. Every no is going to be a yes out there, not too far. So every time somebody said no to me, I was like, okay, the yes is right around the corner.
Yeah.
For all our up and coming entrepreneurs, you guys need to believe in yourself. You need to know that everything that you need to succeed in this world is in the mirror. Once you have to depend on somebody, you're giving somebody power. So everything that I need to survive in this world, I have it in the mirror. It's just like if you're in a relationship, if you don't love yourself 100%, how dare you ask somebody to love you 100% if you're not even doing it yourself?
I agree.
So, yeah, definitely believe in self, because bet on yourself, because no one else can do it better than you.
All right. That's a wonderful message. I'm always telling people to love yourself, believe in yourself. And that is something that is very, very important. A lot of people, I know they suffer through anxiety or depression or stress, and they feel like they can't find a solution to their problem. You know, one thing I can say about that, there's always, when there's a will, there's always a way. And every head has a problem.
So
you know, and there's always a solution. It's just sometimes it's hard to just sit down and think, and some people don't even like to think. They just like to let it flow. But strategize is everything.
Well, you know, we came out of Bronzeville where the odds was against us.
Yes.
The simple fact that we here talking right now on your platform, it wasn't supposed to be.
You know.
So we already winning.
Exactly. Free country, by the way. Free country. That's all I'm going to say. But, like, yes.
We already won it.
Yes, you're so right about that. God is blessing us. Our ancestors is watching us. You know, more life to us, more life to everyone, and more life to the Garifuna people. Mr. G.
I was so excited to speak to you today. I live in New York, you know that. But I'm actually in New Orleans right now. Mr. Vegas, they hired me to videotape his concert here in New Orleans. So I was on Bourbon Street. I'm all over the place, and I'm thinking I got an hour to chill or another. And then they telling me, no, New York time or Philly time is an hour ahead of us. So I'm like, I can't miss out on wisdom. So I flew back to this spot so that we can have our conversation. And I was looking forward to this all day.
Yes! And I'm glad you're here. And I done put a smile on your face. That's all that matters.
For sure. Your smile, ever since you was a baby, you have a contagious smile. And I always love your smile. It's because some people smile and you can tell. It's not coming from their heart.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that you never really had a gray area. For the time that I knew you, you either was messing with somebody or you wasn't messing with them. I never seen even any of the uncles or any of the family members. If you gave them love, it was 100% love. So whenever from the time I knew you, you always gave me a beautiful smile full of love, and I just want to thank you for that positive energy you've been giving me for years.
Oh, you're welcome, Unc. Like, that's all me, man. Like, life is just beautiful, you know, and I'm happy that, you know, I was able to have, you know, a mother and a father to raise me with love. And, you know, I never really had animosity towards people or anything, because, you know, one thing that I learned, one thing that my dad always taught me, you know, every head has a problem and you shouldn't judge, you know, how a people is, you know. So I had to take my feelings and emotions aside and understand an individual that's in front of me in order for me to communicate with that, you know, person, because everybody is different, you know, and that's a skill that is hard to have, but is a skill that I'm, you know, passing along to my daughter and, you know, any of my future kids when I do have, you know, more kids and anybody that's around me, you know, that is very important to understand people and have patience. You know,
peach
so
one, peach one. That's what's up.
You feel me? Wisdom the Healer coming to you live and direct.
You mind if I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
What made you say, I'm going to do this podcast? And what made you say, this is what I want to do? Like, what was it in your life that said, I need to share my insight with the world? Like, well, because usually people do things because of something that happened. What is it that told you? Because, okay, before you answer the question, the reason why I wrote the book is because when I was in Virginia, this lady was asking me about my sister, Dr. Seppi. So I was telling her everything that I told you. And she was like, oh, my God, you need to write a book, because I'm going to explain your story the way you just did. Mm-hmm. Nick Cannon told me the same thing. So I was like, you know what, instead of telling this story all the time, I said, like, let me just write down this document my journey with Dr. Seppi and share it with the world so that they can see what kind of person he was.
Yeah.
What made you say, no, I'm good at this. I'm speaking and communication. Let me share this with the world. Like, when did that start?
All right, so one thing I can say, I do have a best friend. His name is Dylan. And you know, I'm funny in general. Like, I'm a storyteller. So when I speak to him, I mean, every time I spoke to him, he used to tell me, you need to get a podcast. Like, I think people would listen to you and you can put the message out.
Okay.
Right. Yes. And so he always used to tell me that. And so I never knew how to start that. Like, I never knew anything about it like that. I was a little like oblivious to it. So I have met a comedian and his name is Donald Croft, and he had a podcast. And so when I seen that he had a podcast, I asked him about it. Like, I asked him, how can I be able to make one? And he actually gave me the steps to do it. And I just never looked back after that. I downloaded the app and I went ahead and thought about a topic in my head. And that's when I was just thinking like, hey, I know that I can talk good. I know that I can be some type of good influence to somebody. You know, why not make this podcast a motivational podcast and have people in it that, you know, that started from the bottom and getting up there just like me. So
wow.
That's
salute
when
to you and Dylan. Salute to Dylan for planting the seed and salute to you for executing.
Right, like, right, and he listens to it. His wife listens to it. Like, they always looking forward to a new episode. Like, you know. So, I.
Oh man, just the simple fact that his queen is here, is there listening, and winning. Like, that's, your support team is crazy. I like that. I like that.
Yes.
And I'm gonna be listening to you too.
Yes, because definitely after this, I'm going to do some more because I have, like I said, I have a lot of, you know, I have poets, I have rappers, I have singers, and I have a lot of entrepreneurs, motivational speakers, you know, so I have a few people on this platform. I even have people to fix your credit in Jersey if people are interested in, you know, looking into that. I have
You need to put their number information on the podcast.
I have an episode, so I'm sure people are looking into that. And people had contacted the girl that I did have on. It's right before this episode, right? My last episode, which was like I did it in September around that time. So I'm sure people.
Okay, well, you gotta feed the people more. Like, prior to this one was in September, so I'm the first. I'm the first interview of this decade.
Yes, you are, yes. Actually. I'm telling you, like, this episode, like, I'm going to tell the people because I actually was very, I started 2018, and from then on, I went from, like, 500 listeners to going up to 2,000 listeners and now having, like, 10,000 listeners. So it's like, I feel awesome about that. And also, you know, I went through.
Congratulations. That's huge.
Right. And I have Jamaica, I have Germany, I have France, I have international, you know, countries that listen to me.
Big up Jamaica. We got the Mr. Vegas.
Yes. Big up.
Big up Jamaica.
Big up Kingston. Big up St. Catherine. That's who listens to me. Like, big y'all up for real. And Ghana, too.
Yeah, Vegas from Kingston, too.
See? All right. And so, you know, I went through a whole, you know, sometimes wisdom the healer got to heal herself as well. And, you know, before,
you are your
right? So before this episode, I was going through a trauma. I was in and out of jobs. I was getting discriminated. And, you know, I went through something that I never went through before. I never got discriminated before. I never, ever went through that. So for me to go through that in the state that I'm in now, I was like, really, it pushed me back on the podcast because I had to just understand what was going on. And I was also pregnant and I had a miscarriage. So I just had to, you know, get back to, you know, me and focus on what I have to do. And that's the reason why I kind of like fall back on the podcast a little, but I was like, nah, when I come back, I'm gonna come back strong. And look where we at. 2020.
And I can see you not being used to getting discriminated against, because you could pass a light damn near. I used to get discriminated all the time. I'm chocolate brown.
And I'm like,
yeah, you damn near white.
Right. So I'm like, I'm telling you, I never went through that before. And I went through it out here, and because I wear cultural head wraps, I put my crown on. Like, this is, you know,
yes,
you know
that, I saw your pictures.
Yes. So, you know, I have my crown, and you know, when it comes to that, I feel like some people get intimidated by that. Maybe it's too strong for them, which I don't give a shit. But at the end of the day, I'm a humble asshole. So when it came to something like that, I'm very knowledgeable on a lot of things. And you know, some people don't like to hear the real. They don't like to hear the truth.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it came to one job, for example, they didn't like me wearing the head wrap that I was wearing. And first of all, when I first started working there, they said no hats, no hoodies. They ain't saying nothing about no head wraps. So, you know, so I put my African head wrap on, and somebody had a problem with it. And so I try to switch it up as an accessory, because like I said, I'm a humble asshole. But what happened with that is that I wasn't able to, once I put it as an accessory, they did not like that at all. And then they escorted me out like I stole something in the company. And
damn, like
she
was a terrorist.
Yeah. And you know, I was like, and at the time as well, I was also pregnant. And you know, I just told them, I said, listen, if y'all didn't like me, all y'all had to do was just let me know. Y'all didn't have to escort me like I stole something, like I disrespected your company, because I didn't. I know your company's policies, and I even spoke to y'all CEO about learning how to train people better, because you guys don't know how to train. But it's okay though. I'm not mad at y'all. God bless and more life. And that's how I left it. Because I'm not gonna get mad. I knew that it was gonna be a light at the end of the tunnel. So, but I just never, like I said, I had never went through something like that. And so after that, I had got another job. And at that other job, that's when I experienced my miscarriage. And then after the hospital, they fired me because they say they needed somebody consistent. So, you know, I was like, damn, what the hell is this domino effect going on? Like, this is all back to back, you know. So I was over here, you know, I was down, but I have a wonderful family that was able to be there for me. My mom, my husband, you know, my daughter, like, it was just they didn't let me go down at all.
Yes.
You know, and so with
your
that being
crazy, I told you.
Right? So with that being said, and also with my sister too, I love her. Like, you know, with that being said, you know, I was able
Which
to
one? Daddy?
No, my sister Adriana from my father's side, because she's
Do
more
I, know her?
I don't think you know her. She used to come every other weekend in Brownsville, but she lived in Jersey, in Englewood.
Okay. Well, you know, I was in and out of, but I never hung out out there. I know. I just went to sleep and I was out.
That was it. Yeah, but I was more like, you know, closer with Adriana because she's 5 years older than me. So we.
Okay.
Yeah, and me and Getty, she's more older than me. So it was a big age gap between.
Yeah, you could.
So with
you can relate more to the one that was closer to your age.
Yes, you know. So me and her, we got really close, and she's only like an hour and a half away from me. So, you know, I'm still able to see her and talk to her and everything, and see my nieces and nephews grow, and it's a pleasure to, you know, see that. And right now, my sister's actually Adriana. She's pregnant, so we was pregnant at the same time, you know. So I told her, I was just like, that's my baby right there, you know. I was like,
I was just about to say,
yep.
Baby comes through with a new baby.
That's it, you know, just more life.
Share that baby.
Exactly, you know, and that's what I do. I love my nieces and nephews, so. You know, I made peace with it. You know, I definitely made peace with it. I can still have more kids. So thank God for that, you know.
Yes.
And my time will come one day, you know. So so now that I started up the podcast of 2020, I'm definitely going to keep it going.
Yeah, keep it going. Consistency is key. And especially since you're spreading love and some positive vibe. Some positive vibes definitely through that, because there's a lot of times where people can be going through something and then they hear success stories and it actually inspires them. Mm-hmm. So continue doing what you do.
Definitely, definitely. I have to. Wisdom the Healer, like I said, coming to you live and direct. Yes, straight out of Brownsville, Riverdale Towers. Like, you already know. I'm telling you, I had a teacher from Brownsville that actually I interviewed here on the podcast as well. Taught Brownsville students for 20 plus years.
And man.
Yep. And she was actually one of my teachers, because I never went to public school. I went to Catholic school. So
yeah, I remember.
The Catholic school that I went to over there by the Green Clinic on Mother Gaston. I think it was on Mother Gaston. It's a Green Clinic right there by the 60 bus.
You was bougie.
Yeah, I was. It's a little saying, you know. I wanted to go to public school. I wanted to go to public school. My parents was not having it. Like, I'm telling you, it was crazy. But the teacher, she used to teach at that Catholic school, St. Lutheran Christ School.
Okay. What was the teacher's name?
Miss Mann. Elizabeth Mann. That's her name.
Elizabeth. Okay.
Yeah. So she was awesome. And times when my parents did overtime, she would take care of me, you know. So I was able to have her on the podcast because she influenced a lot of her kids. And a lot of the kids that she taught, their parents didn't believe in them, you know, because they felt like their child was slow or whatever, you know. You know, being growing up in a poverty in an area that's, you know, very, you know, not in it like that with their children, she gave that. Yep. And you know, and she was like their second mom, and a lot of those kids, they graduated college, and you know, because she influenced them and she was there for them, you know. So you know, that was something that was very, you know, yeah, wonderful.
Salute to her. I like to hear people like that. I love
yes
people like
that. The name of the episode is called Teach These Kids With Love. Yep.
Okay, I'm
gonna
definitely go listen to her.
Yep, and that's what, you know, she told her story. She told her stories with some students, and it's dope. Like, you know, I have a very wonderful, you know, people that came into the podcast and spoke their story. I even have a Mason. His father walked with Martin Luther King.
Man.
Yeah, I have.
How many episodes you have altogether?
I think I have about 18, if I'm not mistaken.
About 18, and you have over 10,000 followers or listeners?
Yeah, I do.
That's a lot about your content. That's what's up.
Yep. And yep. And then and it's so international and national. So I'm very, I got Callie listening to me too. Shout out to Callie. You know, shout out to Atlanta too. Word. You know, so I know they're going to be excited for this episode right here, you know.
Shout out to the Bowman family on the West Coast. You know, thank you for all your support and love.
Yes.
They're some good people, real good people.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Do you want to tell the audience how to find you? What's your Instagram?
Oh, man, you guys can find me at Dr. Sebi Book on Instagram. That's the IG that I'm using. Dr. Sebi Book. Mm-hmm. And my personal Instagram is Mr. G Photos and the number one. Mr. G Photos and the number one. That's the actual Instagram that I use where you see stuff with 6ix9ine, with all the rappers there, Busta Rhymes, all the stuff I do at the Wendy Williams Show.
Okay.
But the Dr. Sebi Book, you see all of the interview, all the pictures that I did of Dr. Sebi. You see video of Dr. Sebi that you won't see nowhere else, because I have that only video. I put snippets up so you can actually see Dr. Sebi live and get a feel for who he was.
Okay.
And they can actually get the book at Dr. Sebi Book 504. That's Dr. Sebi Book 504. And you can also get the book on Amazon, My Journey with Dr. Sebi. And, yeah, that's about it. And my Facebook is my name, Abelardo Guerrero, A-B-E-L-A-R-D-O, A-B-E-L-A-R-D-O, LARBO, Guerrero, GUERRERO, and you'll be able to see a lot of stuff out there with Chris Brown, with anybody in R&B that comes to New York. I put up all the pictures there.
All right, that's great. Y'all already know. Y'all see, y'all hear it already. Y'all make sure y'all follow him on Instagram. Y'all want to go on Facebook and check him out, definitely do so. You know, it was a pleasure having you on this podcast.
The pleasure was all mine. The pleasure was all mine. Like I said, I'm not going to say it enough. I'm so proud of you. Keep doing your thing. Keep healing with your wonderful words. Keep healing with your wisdom. Keep healing with that amazing smile that you have that light up any room.
Thank you so much. That's why I always say one smile spread everywhere.
But that's so true.
But y'all know everyone, y'all go follow me on Instagram, Wisdom the Healer, Wisdom with a Z, because I gotta be different. Y'all follow me on Twitter, Wisdom the Healer, Facebook page, Wisdom the Healer. And y'all already know I got a Snapchat too, Wisdom 828, Wisdom with a Z, because I gotta be different. And like I said, one smile spreads everywhere.